Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the stories we're covering today, Wednesday, December 26th, 2018. A Sudanese protester describes the scene in Khartoum.
Sudan is just in a point where it is like going through a total collapse of a state.
And there's been social media blackouts in Sudan pretty much since the protests began.
But now it's very difficult even to view the news, to know what is going around. Network is not there.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. At least three Sudanese protesters were wounded by gunshots yesterday as Sudanese security forces dispersed rallies in the capital Khartoum, according to the Reuters news agency. Amnesty International reported on Monday that at least 37 protesters were shot and killed by government security forces. The government disputes that number. Sudan has seen more than a week of protests across the country, which has since spread to several parts of the capital. Protesters have been calling for an end to President Omar al-Bashir's three-decade rule. Bashir told a crowd of supporters on Tuesday that their zeal in showing up to hear him was a response to what he called the traitors, agents, and rabble-rousers that have been demonstrating against him. One of the protesters in Khartoum is Radwan Dawed, who tells Ayen Dangbior that protesters have no plans to back down on their demands.
Sudan is just in a point where it is like going through a total collapse of a state. So everything is just messed up, and the government has no idea about what is going on.
This isn't the first time that protesters in Sudan have taken to the streets. What's different about this time?
This one, the December uprising, it is the largest, and more cities and states are participating now. Sudanese people of all different backgrounds.
Why do you think that is?
From the north, south. Because what is going on is affecting everybody. Even the, you know, school students, they cannot go to school because they don't have money to buy food. People are living in just one meal a day. And, you know, the prices are skyrocketing. And we have shortage of gas and oil. And the banks, you know, they have no money. You can't even, withdraw your own money from the bank. So it is just miserable. And the poverty level is just hitting every family. So it is all just messed up.
And how has the Sudanese government responded to the protesting?
They are responding, unfortunately, brutally. Just yesterday, we had one of the big protests. We were planning to deliver, Sudanese. We were trying to go to the presidential palace to ask the president to step down. We were faced by bullets. I have heard two people have lost their lives, but I'm not quite sure about it yet, but I have seen many people who were wounded and many young peaceful protesters were arrested, beaten, and it was just crazy. Khartoum was like a battlefield. It wasn't like, it doesn't look like a city anymore now.
There's reports that the government used live ammunition. Have you seen any evidence of that?
Yes, I did. Yes, and I known people in a personal way. Just today, I talked to one of the young activists who had been hit in his leg. Luckily, he's still alive right now at the hospital, but he was hit by a real bullet. And this is just one symbol.
But President al-Bashir says he will introduce real reforms, and he says that the protesters are just introducing discord to the country. What's your reaction to that?
The president has no credibility. Nobody has zero respect for him because he has been lying over and over again. Even his own people, the village where he was born, they are turning against him right now. because he knows he's been like a burden right now.
Ridwan, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself? You mentioned you were 36, you also mentioned that you're part of a group. Can you tell me more about that group?
Yes, my main activities are with the Sudan of the Future campaign. It is like a coalition formed by many small liberal groups and supported mainly by youth. So I will be running in the future as a vice president of the Sudan with Adil Abdul Aziz, who is the presidential candidate. And I believe we have a big chance to bring change to Sudan. And this is what we're doing right now. Also, I did face a lot of harassment and arrest. The last one was last year for 45 days. And also in 2012, I was facing a death penalty.
When were you arrested?
No, it was in Khartoum the last time. And even just this 3 days ago, I was arrested for 7 hours, too.
You were arrested for 7 hours three days ago. Were you charged with
three
anything?
Days ago, I was arrested for 7 hours when we were planning to peacefully protest from Al Hilal Stadium.
Tell me about that. Thing. When did the police pick you up? Where did they pick you up?
I was one of the organizers of the planned peaceful protest from Al Hilal Stadium when we had a soccer game. And we were on the line trying to enter the stadium. The security guys, they did recognize me. They obviously knew me because this was not the first time they meet me or see me. And I was arrested with dozens of other activists. I was taken to Banat Detention Center. It is one of their well-known centers in Omdurman city. And I was questioned for 7 hours about my activities, my role in the peaceful protest. And they searched my personal bag. They didn't find anything. And then they let me go after warning me not to take or participate in this kind of protest in the future.
And are you going to listen to them? Are you going to stop protesting?
Of course not. This is a moral duty for us. We don't have any other option. We have to continue, even if it will cost us our own lives, because we're no better than those who lost their lives defending our rights and defending our dignity and seeking our freedom. We have to continue the fight, and we believe this time we will get there.
That was Sudanese protester Ridwan Dawood of the group Sudan of the Future campaign. He was speaking to my colleague Ayan Dangbior from Khartoum earlier today. The Sudan government has blocked interaction on social media in the country since the beginning of the protests. Many Khartoum residents say they're unable to communicate with their loved ones on Facebook, Twitter, or WhatsApp, either inside or outside the country. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum, Sudan.
Sudanese are expressing dissatisfaction over the decision by authorities in Khartoum to block various social media platforms since the protest began. Some citizens say they have been unable to communicate with family members since the social media block out was ordered by the government. Residents of capital Khartoum say for the past week they cannot interact with their loved ones on Facebook and WhatsApp. And Nazira Bulgasim Kuku, a businessman at Al Arabi Main Market, says his business has been affected due to the block out on social media. He says he orders some of his goods online from Dubai, India and Turkey, but now he cannot communicate with his clients and suppliers.
Actually, it has really blocked, it make life so also hard. We were communicating with people outside and this, but now it's very difficult even to view the news, to know what is going around. Network is not there. And then to communicate with your family who are abroad is very difficult.
Kuku also says life without social media is boring. Sudanese citizen Tariq Abdallah works for Oxfam International in Khartoum. He says life without social media is difficult. Abdallah says, with a dire economic situation in Sudan, most families who depend on social media for helping each other could potentially face serious problems.
as an individual, very isolated, very limited interaction, even though there are so many ideas and options and apps to break through and enter these social media, but still it's affecting our social life, and also it's affecting some of our even professional life, like some of the people in our network, and we contact with them through these media.
Sudanese political activist Muhammad Farouk Silman calls the government's decision a violation of freedom of expression and human rights.
This is violence against freedom to start from the newspapers, for the media. All the media here is owned by the government. Televisions and TVs are not allowed to cover the demonstration and organize our people in Sudan.
Thousands of Sudanese protesters continued to demonstrate yesterday against high prices for basic needs like bread and fuel. Many are calling on President Omar al-Bashir to step down. At least 12 protesters have been killed and dozens more were injured since the beginning of demonstrations more than 2 weeks ago. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum, Sudan.
The Sudanese diaspora in the U.S. held a protest on Monday in the U.S. Capitol here in Washington to express their support for demonstrators back home. Activists are also planning to hold demonstrations in several cities of Canada, Australia, the U.K., and other American cities. Ibrahim Babakar is a Sudanese activist with the Sudanese pro-democracy movement GRIFNA and tells VOA's Jackson Vunganyi that he helped organize the protests outside the Sudan embassy in Washington.
Well, a lot of Sudanese in the diaspora, I mean, especially here in the USA, I mean, started to organize and put out a call, I mean, for a protest in front of the Sudanese embassies around the world. And a huge number of people accepted that call and came down, I mean, to Washington, D.C. to demonstrate in solidarity with the protests happening in Sudan right now. So we had our protest, I mean, yesterday, and hundreds, I mean, came for that call.
And okay. And what do you hope to achieve with these protests?
To show, I mean, our solidarity and to organize among ourselves, I mean, in the diaspora, links, I mean, in Sudan, I mean, to keep this momentum going and to get the international community engaged, I mean, and informed about what's going on in Sudan.
Okay. So the protests in Sudan is entering its seventh day, if I'm not mistaken, started last Wednesday. We've had reports from organizations like Amnesty International, a couple of people dead, police has been deployed on the streets. What are you hearing from your fellow activists on the ground in
right.
Sudan right now?
I mean,
now?
There's a huge, I mean, escalation in the violence against peaceful protesters, I mean, right now in Sudan. As we speak, we are compiling the numbers of dead and wounded and detained. The number, I mean, far exceeds the two casualties, I mean, that's been reported. I mean, right now we're talking about the numbers, I mean, in the 30s or up in the 40s. We're not sure right now, I mean, but we'll definitely, I mean, update the media with the correct number of casualties. Mm. But there are a number of also detained, fellow detained people. The momentum's still going, and hopefully, I mean, we'll keep this going forward.
Now, there have been demands made by civil society organizations, including this organization of doctors, who asked the president to step down and to appoint a transitional government of technocrats. Do you see President Bashir acquiescing to that?
I mean, it's really hard to tell, I mean, how effective it is. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, a great step that we have the labor unions and the doctors and the technocrats right now joining this movement. It's a step forward, and if it's not been answered, I mean, of course, there will be more and more until, I mean, this regime responds to the demands of the people.
What are you hearing in terms of the response of the security apparatus, the police, the military, in terms of responding to these the protesters?
It's unfortunate. However, I mean, this is something that we've seen before. We hope, I mean, that their will, I mean, is going to be deterred. and they will stop, I mean, this atrocities and killing their own people. We've seen this in the past, I mean, but right now, I mean, it's kind of in a level that surpassed, I mean, what happened in 2013 right now.
That's Ibrahim Babacar, a Sudanese activist with the Sudanese pro-democracy movement GRIFNA. He was speaking with my colleague Jackson Vunganyi. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. What's happened to missing EU funds meant for teachers who've not been paid by the South Sudan government? Find out when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Describe a perfect day.
A perfect day is when I wake up in the morning without any challenges. I have my family around me. I go to work, come back without any mishaps or difficulties or any hangovers.
A perfect day for me would be a day without any stress, without traffic, without any sickness, without any pertinent need. That would be a perfect day for me.
My perfect day when I get off and then I come out, I do all my assignment in the office or in the other aspect of my curriculum activities.
Maybe watch a movie so I could fall asleep, you know, just watch something for laughs, a comedy, and that's my typical perfect day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Amadi state officials say they've recovered over 500,000 South Sudanese pounds, or about $2,500 US, that went missing some 5 months ago. The amount was part of a donation from the European Union to motivate 30,000 school teachers across South Sudan to continue teaching after the government had not paid them in months. A civil society activist says corrupt state officials should be prosecuted in court. Daniel Martin Friday reports for VOA from Arua, Uganda.
The National Ministry of General Education suspended the $40 incentives for each teacher in Amadi State over alleged misappropriation of more than 800,000 South Sudanese pounds by the state government. Earlier this month, Amadi State Information Minister accused an ex-education minister for paying the amount to wrong schools. But the former education official denied the accusation, saying the amount was spent by the state government. Amadi State Information Minister John Obote says the state is ready to pay back the missing funds to Indol Trust, a UK-based non-profit entrusted by the European Union and the Ministry of General Education to pay Amadi State teachers.
And the money which the government released is 508,660. This is the money which the government of Amadi State released to the Ministry of Education. And the Ministry of Education gave the directive and released the money to win the trust. And the money was being settled. Now, we in the Amadi State, we don't have any issue again.
Obote claims the State Ministry of Education has paid the money to 3 schools in the state. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus by phone from the South Sudanese capital, Juba, Michael Lopuke, the undersecretary in the National Ministry of General Education, says his office did not receive any official communication from the Amadi State government regarding the reimbursement of the missing funds.
As a national ministry, I have not received the official report from the state government in Amadi in regards to the money that they are supposed to repay. That is 300,000 plus 814,000. So this money has to be paid to the teachers and to also to be paid to the pay agent. That is flex. So once that one is settled, and then we will resume the next payment. Our responsibility is to ensure accountability. Accountability is the priority number one in terms of whatever little fund is supposed to go to the teachers. That is my concern.
Lopuke says his ministry plans to inspect schools across the country to ensure that teachers are receiving the $40 incentives. He says schools and states with poor records of accountability will be exposed in the media. Sabit Martin, executive director of a community development center, a local NGO operating in South Sudan, says some government officials involved in corruption will be arrested. Sabit says If corrupt officials are not punished, some South Sudanese government officials will continue to steal funds needed for development projects.
The cases of corruption are reported without apprehending people who are responsible for that. And if it is found that other people are responsible for that, they must be apprehended and they must be brought to court and they must answer. Why they decided to take money that is supposed to be paid for teachers. Because without doing that, it will give people a go-ahead to continue corruption, to continue looting money that is intended for the development of the schools.
Civil society activist Barnaba Samuel says Amadi officials will be transparent with donor money.
This money should be followed up. And the people who are found associated with this, they should be brought to the court and they have to be held accountable. Because if there's nothing done, the same issues will continue to happen.
South Sudan has been ranked as the world's second most corrupt country after Somalia for two consecutive years, according to a report by Transparency International. Transparency International's 2017 Corruption Perceptions Index report highlighted countries like South Sudan that are making little or no progress in ending corruption. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Arua, Uganda.
Some residents of Ye Town say they were happy to celebrate Christmas this year after 2 years of witnessing rampant killings and displacements once fighting broke out again in 2016. Daniel Martin Friday has that story as well for VOA from Arua.
A group of women in the Dar es Salaam area of Ye Town gathered at the local bakery to prepare their favorite Christmas cookies. Some say they will share the cookies with friends and visitors on the Christmas day. Cookies, sweets, soft drinks, and local breeds are common in many homes across South Sudan during Christmas and New Year's. Speaking in Arabic, Ye Town resident Hanan Ibrahim says she will share her cookies with both Christian and Muslim friends.
We are very happy because we are preparing cakes and sweets for Christmas. The most important thing is not only to prepare things at our homes, but also to prepare and welcome Jesus Christ into our hearts. I'm very happy and I want to celebrate that day with Christians and non-Christians as I wish everyone a happy Christmas celebration.
Doreen Abanga, a resident of Jigomoni area, is giving her grass-touched house a facelift in preparation for the Christmas festivities. She says she did not decorate her house for the last 2 years because her family was displaced from the area by fighting in 2016. Speaking in her native Kakwa dialect, Abanga says she is happy to celebrate Christmas once again in Ye Town.
I smeared and decorated my house so that it looks nice and also to welcome the birth of Jesus Christ in a clean place. I want to call on my fellow women to clean up their houses so that we look organized. I will celebrate this Christmas together with our family members.
Ye Town businessman Daniel Stephen operates catering services at the Youth Gardens. Stephen says he's sprucing up the wall for Christmas parties.
We are doing more changes to look good. So we are making some renovation works with lighting and other thing. Because, you know, Christmas, we need this lighting stuff. Actually, we have some activities like gospel shows, which is going to take place on 25th. We are also going to bring Christmas tree, the big one, which can place outside. Drinks, sodas, water, all it's going to be there. So it's going to be more colorful. And we enjoy the peace with the Christmas and enjoy the new life. As Jesus came, that we get the peace already now. Let them think like that. Let them grow in their life with the peace.
Several members of the local clergy were forced to relocate to Uganda, where thousands of residents of Ye fled in 2016. Speaking in Arabic, Abraham Warnyang, an Episcopal pastor at Lumukwan Parish, says he tries to reconcile communities and urge them to peacefully coexist ahead of Christmas.
Yes, but like Christmas, ma kalamta gumas, ma kalamta akil de.
Preparation for Christmas does not mean buying clothes or having good food, but it's how you prepare your heart to receive Jesus Christ into your life. Before you get into Christmas, reconcile with your neighbor, brother, your wife and children so that you are at peace. And these are the kinds of preparations needed during Christmas.
Hawa Adam, a women's rights activist in Ye Town, says families will celebrate Christmas together despite the economic challenges people are facing across the country.
the little that you get, whether it being second-hand clothes. If it is there, buy. And if it is not there, don't force yourself to do something. We have to come together. We have to share. We have to visit each other, more especially those who are in the prison. We have to visit them. Those who are in the hospital, the little that you have prepared at home, at least make sure that you take to someone who is in prison, you take to someone who is admitted in the hospital, so that also they should feel that there are people with them.
Yeah, River State Police Commissioner Major General Yuasalo Jankamba says a combination of joint forces have been deployed at major streets and social centers in and outside Ye Town to protect rivalers during the Christmas festivities.
Our preparation is 100%. We have joint operators, including the Army, National Security, County Intelligence Police, Prison Wards, Wildlife and Fire Brigades. We make a good deployments along all the roads so that we expect that there will not be any night shooting or any arrest. So I can assure the citizens that these are the days that people must be very happy. We need our own security apparatus to be in touch or to cooperate with the citizens.
Ye Town borders the Democratic Republic of Congo, where residents are influenced heavily by Congolese music at Christmas time and throughout the year. Most families celebrate Christmas with dancing and singing. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin in Arua, Uganda.
Papa, kudoku dobai baba, mangalo medalajo. Kudoku dobai baba, mangalo medai. Kudoku dobai baba, mangalo tizui. Kudoku dobai baba, mangalo medaizo. Kudoku dobai baba, mangalo tizui. Kudoku dobai baba, mangalo medabanyona.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Baba by Moses.
Yesu Kristo, kare kontene kupurani pura. Ngola to kade. Lete mutu bai, yi papa do do. Ponda konu ikomo anyen dolo kasui.
We've been listening to Moses with the song Baba, or Father. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Thanks for inviting us into your homes and vehicles this evening. If you'd like to comment on something you heard on the program, you can find us on Twitter with our handle at VOA South Sudan. And if you plan to be out of Juba and cannot tune us in on a FM radio station, you can still listen to us on shortwave. Our frequencies are 11850 kilohertz, 13865 kilohertz, and 15180 kilohertz. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Meroka kila tela, meroka kila tela, meroka kila tela.
monyelika baba lo pijo baba lo pijo baba lo pijo.